I call the meeting to order at 1908, 7:08 p.m. First thing on the agenda is the election of officers. The election of officers happens after every election. And since you're the new guy on the block, I'm going to make a motion that I be president, you be vice president, and Vince be secretary. Do you second that motion, Paul?
Yes, I do.
A second's been heard. I'll poll the board. Since Vince is not here, how do you vote, Paul?
Aye.
Okay, Paul votes yes. I vote yes as well. The motion carries. So now I'm president, you're vice president, and he's secretary. Next on the list, and I sent this around earlier, and you'll hear me say that often because I do this to make sure that when we go to the board meetings, we blow through this fairly quick. Is the board minutes from November 9th. Did you get a chance to read those?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Make a motion that we approve. Do you have any problem with them? Do they look out of sorts or anything?
No, they seem to look fine to me.
Okay. I make a motion that we approve those minutes. Do I hear a second?
My second.
Second's been heard. I'll poll the board. Paul, how do you vote?
Yes.
Paul votes yes. I vote yes. Vince is not here. The motion carries. The board minutes are approved. Okay, going back to our agenda. Update on the 2021 and 2022 audits. Joe, what's going on with those?
So the 2021 is complete, and they found no obvious errors. They had a audit lingo. I don't remember exactly what he said, but with the audit legalese, we passed. And then the 2022 audit is ready to begin. And I think Keith, he said he was waiting for the just approved minutes. So if you send those over to him, then he'll ask me for a lot of documentation. I'll give it to him.
Like I said, I may have to go to Killeen on Thursday, which is tomorrow. So I'll have those minutes completed by Friday.
Okay, perfect.
And the let's see, 2021's done. 2022 is waiting on the November 9th board meeting minutes. So we'll get those to them. So we move on to new business. Approve the minutes for the annual meeting. I did that as well. Did you get a chance to read those, Paul?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Do you have any issues with them?
No.
Then I make a motion that we approve to bring these for approval to the electorate at the 2024 annual meeting. Do I hear a second?
My second.
The second's been heard. I'll poll the board. Paul, how do you vote?
Yes.
Paul votes yes. I vote yes as well. Vince is not present. The motion carries. We will present these minutes to the electorate at the 2024 annual meeting. Going back to our agenda. Okay, discuss lighting for each mailbox cluster within Bradford Park. A little detail, a little background here. We had a mailbox on Bradford Park Drive near Elizabeth Ann Lane that was broken for about 10 months. I had to go and contact the our representative, Pete Sessions, and his legislative assistant, Stanton Bain. He contacted the United States Postal Service in San Antonio, and a lady there named, I think, Christina Marino, told me that the post office's policy is to have a corporation pay for its own mailboxes if they become broken. And since the HOA is a corporation, we get to pay for our own, which I thought was crap. I've since wrote a letter to Pete Sessions, one thanking him and Stanton Bain for their efforts in getting our mailbox fixed, but also in that same letter saying that asking him to spearhead an effort in Congress to keep the post office from doing this stuff. And I told him that it was an unfunded mandate and a hidden tax on people who are in HOAs. And that's true. The other thing I said is that, you know, we can send all this money overseas, especially to places like Ukraine who don't pay taxes, but we can't fix our own mailboxes. Doesn't sound right to me. So I haven't heard back. I'm waiting to hear back on that. The other thing is, as far as the lighting for each mailbox, Joe and I have talked about this at the annual meeting and probably a little bit before, that we need to go and look at putting some kind of lighting at these mailboxes, because those mailboxes, like each one of those, is like $2,000. They're not cheap. Mm-hmm. And it's just one box. And we have clusters of these, and there's seven of these clusters. And so if we're going to have to basically be responsible for these things, if we put lighting there, it's going to deter crime and people, you know, tearing things up. And these things, you can break them with a screwdriver. I mean, it's not difficult. They're made of tinfoil. And so I was talking.
Well, I was just going to say, I'm not objecting to the lighting, but have we talked about, I'm expecting there's going to be vandalism. I mean, what's the cost of upkeep? Have we considered that?
Well, I mean, it depends on what they do. I mean, you know, if they rip the front of it off, you basically are looking at a new box. That's $2,000.
No, I was talking about the lighting.
Oh, the lighting. Well, Joe said it, and when I talked to him at the annual meeting, that he had to go through this with another HOA. Did you not, Joe?
That's correct.
And that you knew someone who did this kind of lighting, and I think you said it was like on a post behind the mailboxes that it would shine down on them, and it was solar powered.
That's correct.
And it was the cost for each, and I think you said that included installation was about $1,000. Yes. Bucks. Was about $1,000.
Yeah.
We have seven of those. That would be $7,000 to put one at every post office box cluster. And yeah, so we need to make a decision if we're going to do onesie twosie or if we're going to do it all at once.
Well, my question is, though, again, Joe, I mean, have you, this other place that did this, have you talked to them? And I mean, how often do people break them? You know, kids out at night, throw a rock, break it. How what's their upkeep cost?
So virtually zero. Okay. In the communities that we've installed them, they're high enough that kids just aren't interested in trying to break them. You have to be pretty good at throwing rocks to break them. And so, and those parts are replaceable and they're solar powered. So there's no electric bill.
Right.
It's a good solution.
All right.
People have done it, like it. They have a website. You would search SAT Energy and they're out of San Antonio. And they have pictures and stuff like that. And we don't have to do them all at once. So we would start with the one at Elizabeth, because that's the one that got broken into, mm-hmm, and put a light there. And then as the board sees fit, then we would add them when we feel like adding them. And that's common. In one neighborhood, they did the mailboxes and they're like, well, you know, some of these cul-de-sacs are dark. We had some money come in, so we did a few more. And then when we have more money come in, then we'll light up the whole neighborhood. So it's a very good solution.
I see this, looking at their map, there's some in Black Hawk and over in that area, huh?
The ones that are close to me and the Goodwin office is called Arbors or Turtle Rock, and that's out 183 Anderson Mill Road. And you guys can go over and look at them. That would be a good idea.
Well, like I said, there's some more right over Black Hawk, which is what, 3 miles from us?
Right. Go over there and take a look, see how you like them.
The other thing I wanted to let you know is, according to Christina Marino of the U.S. Postal Service, every one of those mailboxes, since we're responsible for them, we own them. We can do whatever we want to them. And the land that they actually sit on is owned by the city. And I think this may be one of those deals where if we put it on city land, instead of getting permission, we ask for forgiveness if we do it and they don't want it there. because we're trying to deter crime and trying to keep our costs down. And so there will be some, I think, that will need to get what's the word I'm looking for?
Variance
or, you know, some sort of
easement.
Yeah, that's an easement. So we could put that on someone's personal property that's close to those mailboxes,
Right.
cement it in and put the pole up and all of that. And here, the other thing I wanted to let you know is we've been talking about this for well over a year. Vince was supposed to get us, supposed to get Molly and I, links so we could look at, what he was researching, and he never did. And it's been over almost a year, to be a year tomorrow since we asked him to do that. So I say that we look at these box these here, and if they're acceptable, we just move forward.
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
Okay.
Okay. Why don't you guys go to Blackhawk, take a look? I'll
Yeah,
look up.
I just saw the Blackhawk example was their entrance sign, but there's another one in Pflugerville, and I'm on their website. I can send you the address, Keith, and maybe we can take a look at it.
Sure, that'll work. And the other next, I'll move on to the next thing on the agenda here. Discuss the bulging wall on High Country. This is something you brought up last year. I went and looked at
Yeah.
it once last year. I haven't been over there in a while. I actually quit walking for a while. I need to get back into that. But it's not gone away. And the only thing that I've found out since then is that the land in on High Country in that area is not owned by the HOA. It's owned by the city. Now, we haven't yet determined whether we have a duty of care on that land. I think we may, or not. We'd have to contact the city for that. But as near as I can tell, the people who own that wall are the homeowners and the city of Round Rock. So we can go and fix those walls, but I would want to know what's causing the bulge to begin with, because if they're bulging, there's got to be a reason.
Well, from the looks of it, when I walk by there, it looks like the foundation has settled and it's tilted towards High Country, and that's what's making the wall bulge out.
Okay. This could also get fairly expensive depending on how much of it we have to repair.
Yeah.
I don't know what masonry work goes for, but I would imagine it's not cheap.
Well, I mean, really, you've got to take the entire thing down and pour a new foundation. And the funny thing is, if you get closer to, is it, or maybe it's the next one up. They have another one up there, and then, of course, we don't want to do the whole thing, but maybe from that section that's down, you just transition. There are ones that are like panels, and you put the posts in, and you just slide in like these concrete slats, and it's probably a lot less expensive and a lot easier to put up and maintain.
The other thing I wanted to let you know is I did receive a message from Molly, I think last week, and let me get on my phone here, and she was saying that she sent me a shoot. She sent me a thing on Signal. That's what I use for communications a lot. And it's and there was a thing from Facebook that she sent me, and Stacy Gorubek, I don't know who that is, said just finishing up a walk on High Country toward Donnell. A smaller dog, long hair, cream colored with some other colors, ran from a hole in the cement wall and ran up snarling with mouth open toward my 7-year-old son as though he was going to bite him, then ran back through the hole into the yard. My son is still shaking. If your home backs up to High Country, you have a dog and a trampoline in your backyard, please check your yard and make sure your dog can't get through any openings. That also might be something that we have to look into, to at least, if not us fixing it, the homeowner fixing it, because if their dog's getting out and the dog bites someone, that's bad.
Yeah, I'm the one that approved that message, and I think I know exactly which address because that dog is there's you've got those little blocks underneath with the decorative ones, and pieces of it are broken out, and his dog would shove its head through and snarl at my dog, and my dog's 80 pounds and this one's about 10. It wouldn't be much of a contest, but
What was the address, Paul?
if it's the house I'm thinking of, it's right on the
It'd be West, up to the fan.
Well, next time you take your walk, just
email me the
address.
It's the west corner of Bradford Park in High Country.
Okay. Just email me the address. I'll send a dog violation, and that might take care of it.
And we'll need to look into that. Joe, have you got any contacts that do masonry?
I do. I can get Boris to come over and give a quote. He's doing some masonry work for me right now down in Dripping Springs, and just like Paul said, he had to disassemble everything. The foundation was still good, but he'll rebuild with new rocks. It's going to be expensive, but make it look a lot better.
Yeah, I'm hoping not like overly like $50,000 expensive.
Well, hopefully not that high. So,
so it's interesting that I'm looking at that lighting company. And they're showing a light at this corner in Pflugerville, but Google Maps doesn't show the light. So the question is Google Maps old, or is that light just not there anymore?
That's a good question.
Right. And they should have one over here off Anderson Mill Road. That's a little bit more of a drive, but you just shoot down McNeil, and you can take a look at that one. And they have mailbox lights and also neighborhood lights.
Okay. Do you have any other things for this bulging wall, or do you want to move on to the next agenda item?
No, I think until we get some more information, there's not a lot we can do about it.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at too. All right, let's move on to the collections policy. I have had this on bphoa.info for a while, and I think I sent a link to it last week. Did you get a chance to look at it?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Okay. Basically, the only two changes that I would make to this is the part where it says, I think, $5 because inflation. I move that up to 10. And the other thing is that what's not specifically spelled out in there, and I think we have to do that, is that if someone doesn't pay their dues, then we should start reporting them to the credit bureau. Because here's basically what you can do. There's basically one of three things that I'm aware of that you can do. One, you could start sending like reminder notices, and those reminder notices cost a lot of money, 20 some dollars a month. And what you end up with is, for the delinquent homeowner, the cost of not paying their dues ends up double what the actual dues are by the end of the year. I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's fair. Then what you can do is, so you can do that and report them to the credit bureau, or you can do either or. So one of those three things. I want to, if they're not going to pay their dues, let's ruin their credit. And the reason I say that is that someone that doesn't want to pay their dues, they may not, you literally end up having to foreclose on their home. I don't want to have to foreclose on someone's house, and not if I can help it. But if they don't pay their dues, I don't think they should be able to go and buy a car with it or refinance their home or anything like that either. So I'm more inclined to say, okay, we're not going to charge you into oblivion, but you know, you're not going to be able to buy anything because until you pay us, if this is going on your credit. So, and I wanted to know what you thought of that.
Yeah, that's harsh. I hate to say, because once you get your report to the credit bureau, that's like 7 years it takes, you know, and then if somebody just go ahead and pays it, it doesn't matter. It's still hanging over their head for the next 7 years. So. But I also, on the other hand, I saw the list of people. I can't believe people owe more than $5,000 in back dues. That's absolutely ridiculous. Reporting to a collection agency, though, we would have to pay that agency, correct?
Well, yeah, we would have to. Usually, it goes through the HOA attorney. and you have to pay the HOA attorney, and then we bill their account. And that's when it gets really expensive.
Yeah.
You know, you take a $5,000 balance, and in short order, it's $15,000 or $20,000.
Oh yeah.
And if they don't pay it, they lose their house.
Yeah, I mean, we don't really have a choice when you look, but we got about 90 some thousand dollars in back dues. That's,
yeah.
I mean, we're talking about having to fix that wall that could pay for it, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's probably, as much as I am reluctant to do that, it's the only way I can see to do it that's not going to cost the HOA money.
Right. So you're good with the, which one are you good with? Put it that way.
The credit bureau. Yeah.
The credit bureau. That's what I'm thinking too. So, all right. I make a motion that we, increase the amount, I think per letter from, I think it's like $5 or something up to 10.
Now. Oh, wait, depend which one you're talking about.
Let me see.
The lien notice is $5, and then the quarterly letters are $2.
Yeah, those quarterly letters, I think, have gone up, haven't they, Joe?
Yes.
How much are they now?
So letters, I think now, I have to look it up, but I think it's more like $5. You know, there's some administration that goes with it, not just the postage and the envelope. Yeah. Goodwin has a collection policy, delinquency policy, that's almost identical to this. And I would suggest, let's just go to Goodwin's policy. And we do this for all of our HOAs. They get a friendly letter, hey, you're past due. And then they get another friendly letter, demand payment. And then intent to file a lien, which usually gets people's attention. That's when it goes to the credit bureau. And then a second that we really are going to file the lien. Then we file the lien, and that's $75 with Williamson County, and the homeowner pays that. And then to remove the lien is another $75 for the homeowner. And then intent to foreclose, and that's when people pay. We very seldom actually foreclose on homes,
right?
But the threat of foreclosure gets people to pay, because let's say you have a home that's halfway paid off and you're going to risk foreclosure for a $1,000 HOA bill, and they pay up.
And I want to make you aware also, Paul, last summer, Molly and I, because Vince was against it because he wanted to talk it to death, and we were just like, no, we need to make a decision and move on. Molly and I decided that the collection fees from CCM from January of 2018 through the end of 2021 would be waived. And we had to go through the attorney to make sure we could do that, and we could. And that amounted to, in accounts payable, about $21,000. And the reason we did that, well, there were a number of reasons, but the two glaring ones was that CCM, there were a number of accounts that had errors in them. And also that the previous board, and I made this very clear to those I was knocking on their doors, didn't do their job, and that they, so we how could they hold people's feet to the fire if they weren't going to hold their own feet to the fire? Follow me. And so we voted to waive those. Vince was not happy. He was talking about getting an attorney or something. I don't think he ever did. We literally went through the HOA attorney to make sure we could do it. A number of those people said that they would pay their dues if they didn't have to pay all those collection fees. So we got rid of those collection fees from 2018 forward, and then they still didn't pay their dues. So we gave them a break once, and now they're still sitting out there. They don't care. And so we've got to do something to make sure that they they pay their dues. Now, I will say that I need to see the policy that Goodwin has before I would sign off on it, because this one's fairly lax, to be fair. Literally the first year, you're getting reminder letters every quarter. And then after the fifth quarter, which would be the following year, that's when we say, look, we're going to file an intent to file a lien. And then was it April 1st of the following year, we file a lien. That's what we do here. And then from that, you know, then we start at that point reporting them to the credit bureau. That's how I see it going down. I don't know if Goodwin's is as lenient as this, but this is pretty lenient.
Not lenient is the answer. because if we were lenient, no one would pay their dues. We see that going on right now. So,
well, some of us would, because we have honor and integrity, but you know.
What happens is Goodwin's been collecting dues since 1979. So we know what works and what doesn't work. And ours is one of the best in the industry. They keep statistics on that kind of stuff. And you can also choose as a board, okay, Joe, we're not going to get the attorney involved until it's like $1,000. And then we turn it over to the attorney, and they offer payment plans. They work with the homeowner as much as they can. And then if the homeowner still doesn't pay, then they do the intent to foreclose, and that always works. And then if it doesn't work, then the next step would be foreclosure. So, but at least, well, it does get ugly, but people have to pay their HOA dues, particularly these ones that are, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 over $1,000, two of them pushing $1,000, and it gets the people to pay. And remember, we offer a payment plan too. So there's no reason that they can't pay their dues. So anyway, I'll send that policy over to you, and it works. And if we really are serious about collecting the money, then we'll collect the money.
I only think it's fair. It's unfair to the rest of us that are paying.
Correct. It is.
I agree.
The people simply aren't going to pay doing the current strategy.
Well, you know, we were, again, when we took over, one of the things people were complaining about is they couldn't get a hold of property management. They couldn't get a hold of a director, when Ivanovich and company were in charge. And some people would call in and say, hey, I can't make my dues right now. I need, you know, a month or two in order to make them. And they said, no problem. And then, like, I don't know, 6 weeks later, they get hit with like a $500 bill. And they're like, how did this happen? And it's like,
right.
We can't do that. That we've got to be more transparent and more available. And to be fair, I'm very available. And I know Joe is. So
right.
I don't think that's an issue anymore. I know that there's one person that has responded in Town Square several times saying that she doesn't owe only owed, I think, last year's dues, but she didn't owe like previous dues to that. But our records from what we got from CCM stated otherwise. And we said, well, look, show us your statements, show us your bank right. statements. We'd be fine with that. And she never responded. And I would.
So she does. If she responds, then we'll give her credit. And if she doesn't respond, then we can't give her the credit. So,
right.
My guess, she probably doesn't have the proof.
And I we talked about this once before. Joe says it's a supremely bad idea for a board member to go knocking on someone's door and
say, can't do that.
Go and you need to pay your dues, because that basically opens you up to litigation. So don't do that.
Right. We volunteered
to do that anyways.
I know the rules. I was thinking about doing that at one point. He told me no.
No, you can't do that. We have at least 20 people on our customer care team. When people have a question how to pay dues, we have an entire staff with delinquencies that works with the homeowner with payment plans. We follow all the federal laws in terms of debt collection. And then we only turn it over to the attorney when the board says, okay, Joe, these guys aren't going to pay. Let's turn these over to the attorney. We do that in a special session. And Paul, you can look at this same form that Keith has access to now that you're a board member. It's AP past due and or AR past due, accounts receivable. And you can just see who the people are. And we'll zero in on those people.
You sent that report today, didn't you?
I did, but it's available to you at any time. You don't have to wait for me. You can see it every month. It's updated every month.
Okay.
So anyway, I'll send over our collection policy. And
we'll
if you
review
guys
it.
Like what it says, then I would recommend that we implement that policy and we'll start collecting money.
Yeah, I'm hesitant at doing that only because of what happened before. But again, people have got to pay their dues. I mean, that's
right.
Yeah, I mean, I've talked to people who pay their dues and they get mad. Mad as a hornet, and I don't blame them when they say, well, so-and-so hasn't, you know, they don't, these people haven't paid their dues. What are you doing about them? And I'm like, well, we have a collection policy. But at the same time, I don't want to take someone and on a per year basis, charge them more in collection fees than our annual dues are. That I don't think that's right either. So we've got to find a happy medium somewhere's in the middle.
Right.
So how about we table this and we'll communicate via email until we get to the next board meeting. If we haven't made a decision by next board meeting, then we'll put this back on the agenda. Does that work for you?
Yeah, I mean, Joe, you're going to send a copy of the letter so we can look at it?
Yes.
Okay. So we'll table this until next board meeting. If we haven't approved it before, we'll put it on the agenda for the next board meeting. All right, so set board meeting tentative dates for 2023. This is where we get our calendars out and say when we're available. Generally, what I like to do is I like to have board meetings about every 60 days because it keeps us in touch with the community and also keeps the board meetings from getting very, very long. When we first took over the board, we'd have board meetings that would last to almost 11 p.m., started at 7 p.m. And so we don't want to do that. We want to have them get in, do our thing, get out. So, and normally we have more people. I don't know where all the people are, but they must be doing other things tonight. But the thing of it is we need to set our dates. And I'm thinking probably sometime in the last week of every other month. So we're having this one on March 29th. Which by the way, I just noticed today's Vietnam Veterans Day. You're not a
50,
veteran, are you, Paul?
Vietnam, no. I joined 3 years after Vietnam ended.
Oh, okay. Because I was gonna wish you happy Vietnam Veterans Day.
50 years ago, isn't it?
Keith? Yeah, I'm not that old, almost, but not that. Actually, my brother is a Vietnam vet. I should have said something to him.
Yeah, I have a group that I meet on Tuesday nights, and you're welcome to come, Paul. It's Veterans for Christ, and we just meet. We talk about the old days and stuff, and then we have a Christian reading, and we have a meal over at Cafe Java on Tuesday nights. And then we just go home and we meet every week. So if you want to come, you're welcome.
Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm. So getting back to this, I'm thinking the last part of May, Memorial Day is May 29th. I don't know if we'll get many people to do that, but we got to have them at least once a quarter. Like I said, I like to have them about every 60 days. So if we have one, say, 31st of May, does that work for you, for everyone?
Any date works for me.
Okay. Yeah, it'd be Wednesday, May 31st.
I pretty much quit work at 4 o'clock, so.
All right. So Wednesday, May 31st. And let's see. Then it puts us into July. If you want to keep it on Wednesdays, that'd be fine by me. Does it work for y'all?
Yep.
All right. So Wednesday, July 26th.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Going into September, Wednesday, September 27th.
Okay.
Yeah, it's hard for me. That's a time period that's going to be hard for me to predict because we're doing a major upgrade to our software in that time period. So yeah, we'll put it there, and you know, and I may have to, you know, let you know as we get closer whether we're going to be on schedule or be moving things. But
right, and these are tentative. So you know, if we need to move it, that's fine. We just need to have it sometime in that area. Mm-hmm. If we need to move it back a week or move it forward a week, that's fine.
Yeah, I was planning on being on vacation that week, and I can't because of this.
And then November gets kind of fun because of Thanksgiving. So, and Christmas is not far off. We start getting into the holidays starting the 23rd of November. So, do you want to have one, say, the 15th of November?
Let's see what. Thanksgiving is the fourth Thursday of the month?
Yeah, it's
looks like 23rd. The 23rd.
Yeah. We could even have it earlier. I mean, the week after is. Again, it's still
the week after would be the 29th.
Yeah. I mean, you're not into the Christmas season yet.
Well, you are, but you know, I mean, Black Friday is, let's see, the 24th.
I don't know. I don't play Black Friday. I think that's a complete waste.
Cyber Monday's the 27th. Just telling you. So if you want to have it on the
20th. Yeah.
He's back.
Can you hear me now?
Now you're back. Yeah, now you're back.
Sorry about that. I don't know what happened. It just went.
It times out. We probably.
Yeah. Well, we shouldn't time out because I actually pay for this, and you got in the HOA pays me back, so it shouldn't do that. So we were saying November 29th for a board meeting.
Like I said, if you want to do it before Thanksgiving, it's completely immaterial to me.
All right. Then that would be like the 15th of November.
Yeah.
All right. We'll go with November 15th. And that takes us through the end of the year. Did you want to set a board meeting in January? Because we're going to have the annual meeting sometime in January.
Right.
We could do the board meeting either before or after. Probably after is better.
So you're talking about doing the board meeting like on the 31st.
Right.
And then the annual meeting
sometime before. Sometime
the 17th or the 24th, something like that.
Yep.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, cool. So we'll go for the first board meeting of January. 2024 will be January 31st. Cool.
And do we pick a date for the annual meeting?
We can now, or we can wait until the November, what did I say? November 15th board meeting, up to y'all.
We can choose it then.
Yeah.
All right, let's put that on the agenda for then. And then, so that takes care of board meetings. And let's see, set social activities for 2023. Let me back up here. I know that on October 3rd, it's the first Tuesday in October, pretty sure that's National Night Out. So we need to reserve that date. Molly said she would like to head up these social things, but I don't know. She's kind of, her schedule has been real screwy. I do have all the contacts. So if we need to do it ourselves, we can. But we need to look at that as a date, October 3rd of 2023.
I'm almost embarrassed to say I haven't attended a community event since my daughter was probably in, you know, kindergarten, first grade. She's learning it now.
Well, we usually have we have food catered by like Smoky Mo's. We have a bouncy house, popcorn, cotton candy, and we call Round Rock Fire Department. and the Round Rock police, and they show up. Last time they flew a drone overhead. That was kind of cool, and gave out swag to the kids. One of them was whistles, and oh man, this one little girl, she was blowing that whistle for all it was worth. And I was like, please, sweetheart, go over there and do that.
I think Molly might have an in with the Round Rock police, don't you?
Oh yeah. Her boyfriend is a Round Rock police lieutenant. And yeah. And we had a member of the Round Rock City Council come out as well. So yeah. So yeah, let's see, October 3rd. We need to have like probably two garage sales. I'm thinking either in April or May for the garage sale for the first one. That doesn't require a whole lot for us other than sending out a notification about it. And I've got signs in my garage that I'll put out the day before and then collect them afternoon that day for the garage sale. That, and I'll put it on bphoa.info as well. But that's pretty much all we have to do for that. What date would you like to do that? Those are usually done on a Saturday.
Yeah. Well, if you're going to do it in April, I'll be out the 15th and the 22nd, through the 22nd. So, it's not something I haven't had a garage sale in years. So,
yeah. Do it on the 29th, although I think the 29th, Round Rock's also having a special, spring cleanup or something.
Yeah, that might be well on, but I mean, we can always do it like the first Saturday in May, like the 6th.
That'll work. So we'll maybe put a garage sale on May 6th.
And then just send me, Keith, an email, what you want me to email blast
right
before the garage sale.
Right. And let's see, probably should have one sometime in, say, October.
Yeah.
Say maybe the 21st.
Sounds good.
Okay. And is there any other social activities you want to do? Like, we tried to have an ice cream social in June last year. It was really poorly attended, but it was Saturday at like 10 a.m. and people really didn't want to do ice cream at 10 a.m. So
I don't know. On the other hand, when you do it 3 p.m, everybody's going to be like, oh no, I'm not going out there.
And the other thing is we have to be able to get dry ice from HEB. And I tried to get dry ice for the 3-0 or, National Night Out, and they didn't have any.
Yeah.
So,
of course, did they not have any because they don't carry it or because everybody else had the same thought?
Pretty much everyone had the same thought. They didn't have any. I think their machine was broken. And the one that keeps it cool.
Yeah.
It was literally nothing was happening there. So do you want to have another social function, or do you want to maybe wait until next board meeting and see what we do then?
Yeah. I mean, let's see if maybe that's something we put out in the newsletter and ask for suggestions, because I really don't have any ideas.
Okay. And so, okay. That's pretty much for social activities and garage sales. There's no homeowners here that have concerns, unless you have a concern there, Paul.
Nope. I'm a board member, not a homeowner.
You're both. All right. I'm a board member, not a homeowner. You know, that's funny. You should say that, because one of the guys we got rid of, he actually could say that because he was not a homeowner. He didn't live in Bradford Park, but he was a board member.
Yes, I remember objecting strongly to that. I mean, how the hell did he get elected? He doesn't even live here.
Ivanovich managed to put his name on the ballot and went and got a whole bunch of proxies and got him elected.
Yeah, I'm still going to by you. You're on mute again.
I have no idea why this thing keeps crashing. Normally, it's pretty solid. I don't get it. I even have a wired internet connection tonight. I don't understand.
Yeah, we use Google Meet for work, right? We gave up on.
So,
actually, I don't think I do, because I never use it.
I'm temporarily back.
So I think the recording function is kicking you out. If you want to Well, you shouldn't record the executive session anyway, so
right.
Just turn the recording off, and I think we'll be okay.